I feel like you have to sleep with this guy's wife. I feel like Jen has to allow that.
I'm in this world and they welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, I was just telling you a story which cannot be repeated on this podcast. But last week, we discussed flags, or not last week, like 2 days ago, we released the podcast. And a lot of people really liked it, but a lot of people are like, hey, what the hell is going on? It's March Madness. And also, NFL free agency has become the most bonkers NFL free agency ever. And you guys are talking about flags. But one thing people did like about our podcast last week was I referenced a very small part of the origin story of Dr. Jen and myself. And I just told you off the podcast, and it will stay off the podcast, a story of another girl, pre-Dr. Jen, and the sad conclusion to that relationship.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If people like Venmo or PayPal me $20, can I tell them the story? Because it's really worth it.
No, because it involves too many people who are still like within our mutual circle.
But look, what? But if I swear them to secrecy, no one's gonna like go to this person.
I mean, if people Venmo me $20, then I will tell them. Depending
well,
on
well, you
are.
Have you, my Venmo account is actually yours, so they would actually you'd have to be working on the honor system. I'll split it with you.
I mean, if these are like random listeners who don't know us and will never know anybody who we know.
Yes, if it's people who don't know us, if we don't have any like mutual.
I don't think the story is worth $20.
I think it is.
You like it a lot? Okay.
Yeah, it was a good
story.
The
problem is
because
you dated like the first person, you married the first person you dated, you don't have any dating stories at all.
Yeah. I mean, let's not go so crazy, but yeah, I got married very young.
Yeah. Oh, so you and Mira had some, all right, whatever. Well, that if somebody pays
no,
50
I meant,
cents
I
on
meant,
Venmo.
Yeah, okay, who cares?
Oh, you did date other people? I thought
no,
she was your first girlfriend.
No, I think I was her first boyfriend.
Oh, so you were experienced and you picked up it.
No, I mean, I was 19 years old. All right. I just want to tease what we're going to do later, because we're going to start with the NFL free agency, because that's what people have been asking for.
Yeah. My team cocked to your team when it came to getting a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but now we have your ex-QB. So
yeah, you stole my heart and soul. Honestly, it's like I had a girlfriend, or maybe even a wife, who I really loved in Teddy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she suffered a severe disfigurement. And look, this is the way the world works. You know, loyalty only goes so far. When a beautiful new supermodel came into the picture, I grabbed her up. And, okay, so you wanna try and rehabilitate that disfigured girl back to respectability. You know, I wish you both the best, but I'm moving forward. But I'll always have a spot in my heart for us.
And what's Case Keenum in this analogy?
Case Keenum's the I don't know. We've discussed Case Keenum's wife on this podcast before. So,
okay. So what we're going to do later is we are going to you and I. We're in an NCAA tournament pool, and we are going to have an extra sheet in that tournament pool. You and I have to agree on every pick, or we'll fight it out if we can't agree. And that pool will be officially entered in – that bracket will be officially entered in the pool. But if it wins, one lucky listener will get half the money.
Okay.
So
– how do the listeners apply to be eligible?
They just have to – you have to be in the Facebook group by Friday morning. Because it
so
says
you'll randomly
everyone join
select
the Facebook
a Facebook group member.
Well, no. I don't know if I'll randomly select a Facebook group member, but it will only be eligible to – like, all maybe right. We'll have a contest on the podcast.
Whatever.
Like,
we're not going to win, so we don't have to worry about this.
Well, I think we are going to win, and that would be about $1,000 to the winner.
Okay.
So, and you wonder, you know, there's only 100 people in the pool, so you'd have
that's not
that
nothing.
100% chance. No, it's $1,000. It's not nothing, and we'll split it, and then me and you will, we have to give our wives the money.
Would you rather have $1,000 or tell 50 people the story I just told you?
I'd rather have $1,000. I don't
know. Oh. Well, you...
I was just holding your story hostage.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So, let's start with NFL free agency.
Yeah.
Obviously, the biggest story is – well, actually, let's – why don't we sort of go back to January, the Alex Smith trade from Kansas City to Washington. We discussed that on the podcast a little bit, but that's when it was clear that Kirk Cousins was going somewhere else. And immediately, the leading contenders were the Vikings – who had a lot of cap room and had three free agent quarterbacks. And, of course, the Jets, who had a ton of cap room. The Browns, who had a ton of cap room. I think the Broncos is another sort of wannabe contender. Who
the Cardinals. The Browns fell out of it very quickly, and the Broncos.
The Jaguars, before the Jaguars went ahead and signed Bortles.
It seemed like the final three were the Vikings, Jets, and Cardinals, and then the final two became the Vikings and the Jets.
Yeah. So we'll get to that, but let's tease that. Let's start with some of the smaller ones. So the Seattle is the Legion of Boom has come to an end. Michael Bennett traded to the Eagles. Eagles fans are very excited about that. And then Richard Sherman also gets cut and signs with San Francisco, which it's too bad Michael Crabtree's not there. And it's too bad San Francisco and Seattle, they were very good together about, 6-7 years ago, and then San Francisco was bad. And now it looks like San Francisco's going to get good, and will Seattle be bad? So what's your take on what the future is for the next couple of years for Seattle?
I mean, they didn't have, like, they had an old, not-so-great team, similar to what the Saints had a few years ago, and they knew, like, they could still build around their quarterback, but they had to reboot, and I like it. They haven't made that many splashes, and also Jimmy Graham is a big loss, even though he for whatever reason, never really fit in their system. I think he'll be much better on Green Bay. I'm excited to have him in the League of Leagues. By the way, I may have a spot available. If you're interested in League of Leagues, too, hit me up. To me, the Seahawks, like, this is definitely a rebuilding year, but unless you're Mike Lombardi. You see Mike Lombardi?
What does rebuilding mean? Because they still have, they lose Richard Sherman, obviously. They still have Bobby Wagner. They still have Earl Thomas. I mean, they still have, like, one of the things I've been working on this week is I've been sort of making a list of all active NFL Hall of Fame candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And spoiler alert, Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas are both more likely to be in the Hall of Fame as of right now than Richard Sherman is, I would argue. And for sure, I would say are more likely than Michael Bennett, who has no chance whatsoever. So they still have a lot of talent there. And then they still have, one of the best two or three quarterbacks in football. So when we say rebuilding, what does rebuilding mean? That they're going to be 9-7? Because I don't think they're going to be 6-10 in any circumstance.
No, not 6-10. Right. They have a ceiling, a floor that's really high because of their QB. But they were 9-7 last year. Like, they're a team that can probably make the playoffs, but I don't think they can win a Super Bowl right now.
Okay. Then the Rams started making moves. First they got Aqib Talib from the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams, like, what we see, and this is an old school thing, where, like, the hottest team, all their players get shed. Obviously, the Super Bowl winner, people overpay for their players, but the Rams are the hot team that everyone, so everyone's trying to sign all the ex-Eagles and certainly the ex-Patriots, which happens every offseason and is definitely happening. But people are trying to get a piece of these Rams now also.
Well, but here's the thing. So the Eagles add Michael Bennett and make a couple other moves, and everybody's like, oh, the Eagles are, getting even better. And then the Rams make these moves, and then the Vikings, of course, add Cousins. And everybody's saying these are the clear, three favorites in the NFC. But I think people need to slow their roll, because coming into last season, nobody would have put those three teams as the favorites in the NFC. And so who knows who's going to come out of nowhere. And then, by the way, that is before we even mention the Packers, who anytime Aaron Rodgers is healthy have to be mentioned in that conversation, right?
Yeah. By the way, did you see Mike Lombardi tweeted, who is the best QB in the NFC West?
Yeah, and what was the voting?
No, I didn't. I don't think it was an actual poll. He's like, who's? Maybe it was.
But the point is, how is it even a question when Russell Wilson's in that division?
Wilson, Goff, Jimmy G. Yeah. I mean, it was insulting.
Or Sam Bradford.
Yeah. Did he even mention Sam? I'm not sure. But
yeah. How can we not include the Packers in a conversation of contenders?
No, the Packers are definitely contenders. If Rodgers plays 16 games, obviously they're a top two or three.
They have Muhammad Wilkerson. They've stolen from you guys.
Listen, Muhammad Wilkerson basically didn't exercise for 2 years. Literally missed meeting basically he would have been cut 14 times by the Patriots before he did last year. He missed so many meetings and stopped showing up, and he dared them to cut him and they couldn't. And eventually they just sent him home. And I mean, the joke's on him. He would have, if he had tried hard the last 2 years, he would have signed another $80 million deal. And instead he got a 1 year deal. But I agree. You want him on a 1 year deal. Although again, the Jets had him. Basically, knowing he would be cut and he wasn't trying. But maybe he tried to play his way out of New York. Yeah, so he'll be great for them. I'm scared of the Packers. The NFC, we said this at the end of last year, but the NFC has just absolutely taken over. The NFC is so much better than the AFC right now. Especially, Brady's going to be 41 next year, and nobody is emerging as the second best team in the AFC.
Do you have any take on all the moves the Browns have made, or we don't even need to discuss those?
No, I mean, they've gotten a lot of mediocre guys, and I mean, obviously they're going to be better than last year, and Tyrod Taylor, is not going to go 0-16.
I mean, shockingly, shocking to see them cut bait on DeShone Kizer that quickly.
No, he stunk. I think however bad he was, because he was such an a-hole and like the little we got to hear and see from him, I'm sure he was a nightmare behind the scenes too. Like, it's funny because like the Bills taking on Kizer, although I don't think they had any value in him, like, there's sometimes you see like, oh, this team is like universally a disaster, whereas the Bills make some incredible moves and then like abominable moves. And like the Bills signed I was going to say Marshawn Lynch. They signed Chris Ivory to like an obscene contract after he got cut. Like Chris Ivory should at best be making like league minimum. But then they fleeced the Bengals.
You mean he should be making league minimum in the CFL?
In the spring league that Johnny Manziel is going to be in. And then they flip the 21st pick, move 8 spots up for an old, aging, like never healthy left tackle. So the Bengals are morons. There's so many dumb teams in the AFC. It stinks that the Jets are one of them, because it would be nice to be like one of the 3 smart teams. And you could really like run circles around all this. That's why the same freaking Patriots, Steelers, Ravens, like the good organizations, are so much better than like the 8 clown colleges in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans like gave money to Deion Lewis. Have they not seen the track record of Patriots running backs going anywhere else?
Yeah, it's obscene. All these teams are like trending down. Like Baltimore, Cincy, Tennessee, Cleveland's not even trending up. Miami's down. Buffalo's down. Almost every NFC. I mean, the NFC team that I'm most down on now is probably the Giants, who just gave Jonathan Stewart a ton of money, which makes no sense.
That was a disaster. Yeah, makes no sense.
They way overpaid for Alec Ogletree. I mean,
Nate Solder also, although they have to, I think.
The Rams might have like cut it. I mean, like the Rams, that was not the market for Alec Ogletree. There's just not a lot of talent on that team, and they have to deal with the one talent, and is a nightmare right now, and is, you know.
Well,
hold
on. Did you see what Bill Barnwell, the only signing so far that he has given an F to, not a D- or a D or D plus, but a straight F?
Yeah, Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah. So San Francisco, everybody's in love with San Francisco, obviously.
I'll say this. Any team that's overpaying a running back, you know they don't know what they're doing. Because I'll tell you that the team that will not overpay a running back, and that's the Patriots. Right?
But it's one thing to overpay a running back who's like done something. Jerick McKinnon has been like, he's very good as the second
like
or third option.
Le'Veon, you know, at this point, like, I'd rather give Le'Veon Bell $22 million than give Jerick McKinnon more than the league minimum. Like, because he's not even good, right? Not only is he overpaid, but he's old and bad. They literally.
Well, no, he's fine as a change of pace guy, but he's not good. I mean, the announced value was 4 years, $30 million. Obviously, it's nothing close to that. I don't know what the guarantee is yet.
It's a lot,
but,
I think.
Yeah, but he's turning 26. We've never seen. I mean, what his career average is 4.0 yards per carry, and that's as a guy who's coming in mostly, you know. In
no, first
situations.
2 years was 5, and the last 2 years was 3.
Yeah, well, that's because the first 2 years he only came in on 3rd and 15s. Right, and so, you know, those are easy runs. Third down backs are always going to have higher yard per carry.
Yeah,
here's
my theory. I've been thinking about this today.
Yeah,
Mike Shanahan really knows what he's doing. John Lynch doesn't know what he's doing. And, like, Shanahan sort of, like, facilitates, or, like, Belichick essentially hands them Jimmy G, which makes us think that they're smart.
Yeah.
But everything else they're doing, it makes me think that they're dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, last year he gave Juszczyk.
But Jimmy G can mask a lot of that. We saw Andrew Luck mask a lot of that in Indianapolis for a couple of years.
Yes, it could become an Andrew Luck situation. And we were on the original 32 Fans podcast with Ari Gold was on the Colts are an absolute fraud. You know, yelling.
Well,
at
you
Jake
always
Lewin
like to say 2-53.
Yes, yelling at Jake Lewin 7 years ago about this. So, my fear, and again, John Lynch, kind of dumb as an announcer. Maybe he's dumb. And also the fullback deal last year was considered the worst deal in the league, that they paid their fullback $1 zillion when nobody else would have given him more than league minimum.
Yeah.
Because he went to Harvard.
Okay, so now let's get to the main event, which is the big name quarterbacks. So as we said, Cousins had a few places to go. Almost right away, people talked about the Vikings were going to give him like 3 years, $90 million guaranteed. And the only thing the Vikings were waiting on was to see if there was any chance that Drew Brees at 39 and with already, you know, over $100 million in the bank would consider, you know, uprooting his family and moving to Minnesota. And apparently the Vikings offered him like $50 or $60 million guaranteed. And then he decided to go back to the Saints for like less than half of that. And then the moment that became public, almost immediately thereafter, it became public that the Vikings deal with Cousins was a done deal. How did you feel as a Jets fan? Tell me, like, sort of the percentage at your highest point. What percentage chance did you think that the Jets were going to get Cousins?
I mean, obviously, it got lower and lower every day. But I thought it was 50-50. Like, I thought maybe they were the favorite. But in my heart, I knew, like, why would he go to the Jets, who are so, rebuilding, over the Vikings, who, if you believe in your abilities, and obviously he does, then you have to think you're the missing piece to them, overcoming Philly and making
Yeah, I mean, he's 29 years old. He comes to the Jets. His best case scenario is that they're a contender by the time he's, what, 31, 32?
Yeah, and players don't think like that. I'm sure he's thinking he's going to play the way Brady and Breeze are, like, that he's got 10 more years, and also he doesn't have a lot of miles on him.
Yeah, but why, but even, yeah, I'm sure he thinks he has 10 more years, but why waste two of them?
No, I don't, I agree. I mean, listen, there's a reason he didn't even visit the Jets. Like, I mean, you're going to, at this point, everyone's going to pick the Vikings over the Jets. I would be very concerned if he picked the Jets over the Vikings, because it would have just meant that the Jets offered him, like, $2 million a year guaranteed, and, he's all about the money.
All right, so you guys end up – well, so it's funny because the Vikings have these three free agent quarterbacks who combined have gotten like $50 million guaranteed or something. So they're being spread all over. I think Denver got Keenum was the first one. I'm not sure that that's a great move for Denver, honestly.
I mean, he's better than what they have now. I think they're going to draft a quarterback.
Hold on. But if we look at Case Keenum's career before 2017, would we say that he's better than what they have now?
Yeah, because what they have now was terrible beforehand.
Yeah, but what they have now is basically Case Keenum pre-2017.
I mean, isn't that still better than Trevor Siemian?
It's probably better, but how much better? Like, does this make the Broncos went, 5-11
last year? A zillion times
year?
Better. Like, even if you think Case Keenum is going to revert to Los Angeles Rams Case Keenum, that's better than Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch.
If I put the Broncos over-under right now at 8, would you take the over? Because I would not.
No, I don't think the Browns are good, but I also, with Paxton Lynch, right, they would have gone 3-13.
Well, they have a lot of talent, and so, but okay, all right, fine. Okay, so you're not high on that move. And then, of course, Arizona signed Sam Bradford for, I think they're guaranteeing him $15 million, and people are making fun of that. I don't think that's a terrible contract.
No, it's fine. The Jets are paying $15 million for McCown and Bridgewater. And McCown is a zero upside guy, because he's 40.
Yeah.
And Teddy Bridgewater is, upside through the moon, but,
look,
hold
on. We'll get to the Jets in a second. We've seen from Sam Bradford, and we saw it in week one last year. We saw it the previous season where he set the NFL record for completion percentage, and everybody made fun of him that it was dink and dunk, but he also led the league in adjusted percentage for balls thrown 10 yards or more down the field. So Sam Bradford has an arm. What he doesn't have is any, non-brittle bones in his body, which is good because he's coming to a team Arizona.
Would you rather have Keenum or Bradford if you were the Cardinals?
Well, here's the thing. The Cardinals have just dealt with this with Carson Palmer for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Who's their backup?
But they just have an old, and Bradford isn't like that old ultimately, but he's an old man who's always injured.
Yeah.
I would be very nervous, about the direction of my organization if I was a Cardinals fan, but not because of the Bradford trade, really, because it's a one-year deal. One-year deals at this point, like, it doesn't matter if it's
okay, that's true. But here's my issue with the Cardinals. Each of the last 2 years, the Cardinals have tried to extend this little run of relevance that they have rather than rebuilding. And by signing Bradford this year, that means they're trying to do it one more year. And I don't think they've picked up the lesson, which they should have from the last 2 years, which is, it's probably over for you guys. Right, I mean, they can go 8-8. They maybe can weasel into the playoffs in 9-7. But this is not a Super Bowl contender. Even if Sam Bradford stays healthy for 16 games, which is never going to happen.
Yeah, right. Bradford plays 16 games.
They go 9-7.
They're in a brutal division. Just brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, again, Goff is getting really good and has, as an absolute superstar coach. They have Russell Wilson and Jimmy G. That division is maybe the best in football.
Yeah, I mean, the NFC South, everybody... Well, I mean,
that team could go 4-12. Like, let's not pretend that team is stacked with talent up and down. Like, that's a team...
Arizona, you're saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, David Johnson comes back.
If Bradford gets injured, they're getting a top five pick in the 2019 draft.
I mean, maybe they're tanking. I don't think so. I mean, we forget how good David Johnson was also.
Yeah, that's true.
They had him for, 12 minutes last season.
Yeah, so you're saying 8-8 is not terrible then.
It's hard to go 8-8 if you're the worst team in that division.
Oh, next year. Yeah, I'm saying they went 8-8 this year.
Oh, no. 8-8 was like, it was a decent coaching job.
All right, fine. So let's get to your beloved Jets, and we'll end with the Vikings. Actually, in that division. So Miami, obviously, they're going to run it back with a healthy Tannehill, right?
Run it back with healthy Tannehill, but, Landry is one of the more underrated players in the league. Fantasy football players know that he's pretty good, but, Landry's
really
excellent.
Well, they signed
really
Danny Amendola.
Yeah, but he's not even going to start.
No,
like,
they got rid
of him partially because they have guys they like Devontae.
So,
Parker.
So the only team that doesn't have a starting quarterback right now in the NFL, I think, is Buffalo.
Right. The only team, you know, but there's going to be four guys picked in the top six.
Yeah. Well, I think the Giants are going to take one as an Eli right. replacement.
Well, I mean, the Browns are going to take one, obviously.
We'll get to the Jets in a second. Yeah.
The Browns have one and four, and they're obviously taking a quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. Of course. In terms of a rookie starting quarterback next year, is there going to be a rookie starting quarterback in Buffalo?
Yeah, almost definitely.
Okay.
I mean, they have picks 13 and 22 now, so they're going to swing into the top 10 for sure.
Well, but top 10? I mean, are they going to manage to swing to the top 4 or 5? If you had to guess right now, it is March 14th.
Yeah.
The NFL draft would usually be a couple weeks away, but I think it's like over a month away. It's the end of April this year. Who is going to be the Buffalo Bills starting quarterback in week one? We did this a few weeks ago.
Baker Mayfield.
Okay. And so they're going to trade up, right? I think you said they have the number 12 or 13 pick, something like that.
They just got the Bengals 13th, and they had 21 and 22. Now they have 13 and 22, which is really, you know, that's an excellent trade chip.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now
unless whoever it is, Allen or Rosen or Darnold or Mayfield is just absolutely incredible at number one, you'd assume Tyrod Taylor is going to be able to win the spring training, the training camp job over him.
Yeah.
So I think Taylor starts for the Browns. It's almost impossible to imagine that Eli does not win the starting job over whoever the Giants.
No, there's no chance. There's no chance.
Right. I mean, they don't have to cut him. Yeah. You'd have to cut him.
Exactly.
Right then,
they don't bring him back to sit on them. Yeah,
they wouldn't have done that. Let's get to your Jets.
So it becomes clear that the Jets are not going to get Cousins. And at that point, what did you want them to do?
Well, I wanted them to sign Teddy B. It's a little weird that they signed McCown and Teddy B. I don't know what Bridgewater's base is. I know he can make up to $15 million. I think it's a single digit number. Where if like he doesn't play, what his sort of like.
But here's the thing: it's also a 1 year contract. There's no team option. So the best case scenario for the Jets is that Teddy B is totally healthy and he is what we thought he was going to be a couple of years ago. In that scenario, it's a Kirk Cousins situation. He's a complete free agent next year. So what did you gain?
I mean, maybe he wouldn't sign a 2 year deal. Like, I can't understand.
I understand.
Here's the deal.
I don't understand why a team would sign a contract for Bridgewater without having a team option on the second year.
I thought about it too. Maybe they were not willing for this little amount of money. And again, he's making a third, possibly, or a half of what Bradford's making if he does.
He might be totally unhealthy, and then he'll have to start all over again next year. We have no idea.
I mean, at a certain point, he's going to have a tough time getting a job. If he doesn't get on the field this year, it's going to be hard for him to get, more than a third string look.
So then the other question with the Jets, and we'll get to Teddy more in a second.
It's a high-class problem for the Jets to finally have a good quarterback, and then they have to pay through the bank, which they have the money for, to sign Teddy B.
Okay, but McCown, they are paying him, more than double what a backup gets.
Well, listen, they're not competing against other teams necessarily for McCown. They're competing against retirement.
It made sense. I mean, McCown was great. I think this was
like a reward for last year, which teams should never do. But I think ultimately it was he's supposedly an amazing guy, and he was incredible. He was absolutely incredible for them for about half the year.
Yeah,
not incredible enough that they didn't fire the offensive coordinator after the season. forgetting that when he left, the team collapsed. I mean, listen, it's amazing because Christian Hackenberg is like already the fifth string on this team. He's not even going to make it to training camp.
Well, I don't even understand. This is what I understand. If you're going to sign Bridgewater, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then you do need some kind of competent backup. But the amount they paid McCown, when they did that, I thought, oh, so they're definitely going to draft a rookie, and they need McCown to start the beginning of the season.
Well, yeah. Oh, Bridgewater's going to have to beat him out. Like, McCown is the incumbent.
I don't understand.
McCown's showing up day one and taking the first snap in training camp.
I don't understand the McCown-Bridgewater combo. And then the question is, does this mean they're definitely not taking a rookie then?
No, I think they are. I think the plan, every beat writer was saying McCown, Bridgewater, and rookie, which of course you're going to point out makes no sense because there are not enough snaps for two people, let alone three.
Exactly.
But that's the quarterback's problems. To me, it makes some sense to compile the quarterbacks. McCown gives you the chance to win this year. Bridgewater is an interesting look for now and the future. And if you get a quarterback, then who cares about McCown and Bridgewater? They're free agents next year.
Well, the options with the outcomes for Bridgewater are pretty much binary. Either he's injured and no longer who he once was, in which case, so what? Who cares?
Right.
Option two is, oh no, we can get the Bridgewater that we thought the Vikings were getting before.
That guy has to be better than Josh McCown, right?
Yeah, but if that happens, then what do you do with this rookie you just drafted?
Again, the idea of the Jets having two good quarterbacks, we're going to listen to this conversation in 8 months and laugh
I understand.
When all three of them are bad.
Okay, but the team 40-year-old
McCown can't
throw
anymore.
But the team has to have a plan. I agree with you.
No, they don't. There's a reason why this team hasn't had a home playoff game, you know, has had two in my lifetime, and that's they don't have a plan. There's no plan.
It's just I don't understand why you sign Teddy and take a quarterback with a top five pick. And they signed Teddy this 1 year contract where if he's good,
one of the weird things, as you know, about NFL free agency is you do free agency and then the draft. When in the NBA, you do it the other way.
It's completely idiotic.
You can't not have a quarterback and then you don't pick one. And then you're like, oh, you talk yourself into Christian Hackenberg.
Well, but they still have, they still have McCown, though, right?
So then your plan is no Teddy, no rookie. And then you have, then your starting quarterback is McCown and your backup is Christian Hackenberg. That's what you're going
in
2018 with.
If you go in with McCown only, you know you have to get a rookie. You're getting a rookie.
Yeah, but you can't paint yourself into a position where you need to get somebody because then you have no leverage in the draft. And what if you don't like the guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What if you only like three of these four guys and the fourth person doesn't fall to you? What if the Bills jump into four because that's the Browns?
I mean, the bottom line is the Bridgewater contract just makes no sense to me for the Jets because
I disagree. I think the McCown contract makes no sense.
This is the thing. The best case scenario for the Teddy Bridgewater contract is that you're going to have wasted your top 10 pick this year. Because the best case scenario is that he's good.
But that's fine. You don't want them to play anyway. And then you can make a decision next year, an educated opinion, having had this guy in your system for a year and having had Teddy in your system for a year. And then you decide.
But to waste a top 10 pick on a guy who's never going to play?
It's not a waste because if he's bad, then it bullet dodge. And if he's good, there'll be a market.
Hold on.
If the Jets decide next year that Teddy Bridgewater is the future, that means that Teddy Bridgewater had an amazing year, and who cares? I'll light that. Okay. Throw that guy
Hold
into
on.
The ocean.
Let's,
I don't care.
Let's go back to what you said. You said if he's bad, then it's not a wasted pick. Well, if he's bad, of course it's a wasted pick. By definition, it's a wasted pick.
I know, but I'm saying who cares? Like the Teddy, there's no connection.
If he's good, what do you mean if he's good? If Bridgewater's good, which is the theory that with the hypothetical we're talking about right now, then you're never going to find out if the rookie's
never going to find. No, but you have an idea that listen, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play. They knew he was good because they had him in their system.
But the point is, we're talking
and
about
he was not a first round pick.
We're talking about a hypothetical where Bridgewater is really good, and so the Jets want to keep him and trade and get value for this rookie. The reason that the Patriots might have known Garoppolo was good from practice. The reason that Garoppolo had trade value to the rest of the league is because we saw him do it in three games when Brady was suspended. Right. So there's no scenario in which Teddy Bridgewater is really good and healthy and is the quarterback of the future for the Jets, and also the Jets have a rookie who everybody else is going to offer value for. That scenario doesn't exist.
All right, we're going in circles. I hear what you're saying. Right. Listen, having too many quarterbacks is a high-class problem. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, look, the Vikings had it last year.
Josh McCown wins MVP. Teddy Bridgewater looks flawless in weeks when the Jets are 15-0, replacing him in week 17, throws for 400 yards, four touchdowns with the Jets' backup offense. And then Josh Rosen, does a lot of mitzvahs all around town. And he looks great, too.
They
have a Vikings decision where Keenum, Bradford, and Bridgewater, everyone's just deciding between.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get to the main event.
We talked about the Vikings. There's nothing to talk about. You signed Kirk Cousins, Mazel Tov.
So we're not going to discuss it?
I mean, yeah. We discussed it. Like, what else do you want to talk about? Okay, how about this? Give me completion percentage, yards, touchdown, interception stats for Cousins, and we'll play this back in December. give me predictions for Kirk Cousins' season.
I have to give you exact numbers here?
I mean, I'm not going to... There's no gun to your head.
All right, so I will say, you can never expect a team to repeat 13-3. So let's say the Vikings go 11-5. Okay. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings go 11-5. I guess he throws for, let's say, 4,400 yards. And we'll give him, 32 touchdowns and 13 interceptions.
All right. So he's like the league MVP discussion, basically, if he cuts his
interceptions. No. 32 and 13. And that's not – in this day
and age. What's your record in this scenario, 12-4?
I said 11-5.
Oh, I wasn't listening to the first
one. No, that's not MVP. Hold on. Let me.
Oh, well, not because the Packers win the division, right? And so you're the 5 seed or something?
Let's say the Packers go 10-6. Did we not learn last year that the Packers 2-53 are garbage? It's Aaron Rodgers and nobody.
Mm-hmm. Well, now they have Muhammad Wilkerson and Jimmy Graham. So 4-53.
I'm looking. Let's say 4,400 yards and 32-13 for an 11-5 team. That would not have been better last. I mean, Drew Brees was better than that. Alex Smith was better than that. Tom Brady was better than that. I mean, all these guys had like 6 or 7 interceptions. That's the thing, right? Nobody in my top 10 quarterbacks had more than 12 interceptions.
Except for Ben Roethlisberger. You can't throw that many picks and win the MVP.
Yeah.
You are correct.
So, yeah, that's a lot of interceptions. And also, but I think that he'll go back to what he was in the previous couple of years, which is he was, you know, before 2017 when Washington's entire, skill position guys were injured. But the previous 2 years, he was like the 6th or 7th best quarterback in the league. And I think he'll go back to that. So, yeah, I'm excited.
All right, let's talk NCAA tournament.
All right. Okay. What are we doing?
Okay. So we're going to pick a bracket. We're going to go along. I have the bracket open here. Why don't you take a look at an actual bracket, but I'll fill it out with our decisions. And we have to fill out a bracket. And if we win, again, listeners get about one lucky listener will get about $1,000. And then we'll split $1,000, but we have to spend that on our wives. Okay. So let's start in the top left south region. Now, last year when we did this, I knew.
Hold on. Are we doing men's or women's?
This is the men's bracket.
Okay. All right.
We could do women's Final Four after if you want.
Well, I'm very excited. The Gophers are playing. It's Minnesota versus Green Bay in the first round. So talk about Vikings Packers.
The Wisconsin Green Bay, they used to be in the NCAA tournament like a bunch, and they would always play. I think it was Tony Bennett before he became big time their coach, and they would play like 40-38 games in the tournament. Wisconsin Green Bay. Haven't seen much of them in the tournament recently. I love the new teams in the tournaments. There's a little bit of a new look this year, not at the top, but in the middle, there are definitely some teams you don't see every year.
Okay. All right. So
can we just talk overall tournament, like bracket picking philosophies for a second?
Yeah. Okay.
So there's
going to
be about 100 people in this bracket. Let's for, maybe a little bit more, maybe 90, but let's just say there's 100. So
what's the scoring? Are there like bonuses for upsets? Is it tied?
No. This is standard. It's 32 points around standard. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. Very standard ESPN score.
Oh, you don't get points based on seed.
Have you ever filled out a bracket before?
Yeah. If you pick a 12 seed and they win, you get more points than a 5 seed who wins.
Okay. Alexander Chester.
Yeah, that's not the ESPN.
I've been podcasting with you for almost 3 years.
Yeah.
That is the single stupidest thing you've ever said. Most brackets have upset scoring.
Okay, first
I would
all,
say,
hold on.
I would say, as someone who brought 4 New York Post to school in 1995 or 94 in like 5th grade or whatever I was in, to run an NCAA tournament pool back then and has never missed a year since, let me assure you that under 1% of all pools do scoring the way that
suggest. First of all, you are definitely the wrong one to ask on this because you are infamous for picking the wrong website on which to run all your pools. So, for example, everybody knows that Yahoo is the site for fantasy football. You refuse to use Yahoo. Everybody knows that CBS is the site on which to do brackets. And I have been in CBS brackets dating back to like 2005, 2006, whenever it was created. And on CBS, which is far and away the most popular website, or at least was by now, maybe ESPN surpassed it, I don't know. On CBS, which is all of my brackets are in except for your bracket, you get points in the first 2 rounds based on the seed.
Okay, but I want you to know that every other website, it's not like that, including ESPN, which is much more popular than CBS because like ESPN.com is not more popular than CBS.com. And also Yahoo doesn't have upsets and Yahoo's more popular than CBS.com. This is, again, like I discussed with your wife, an example of you assuming that the thing you do is automatically what everyone else
does. Okay, hold on.
And this is
hold
what they call
on.
In the business egocentrism.
I'm on a website to see how many people use each of the. Okay, so there's 11 million people. This was 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
ESPN, CBS, which one is more popular? ESPN is growing. Yeah, so ESPN is now the most popular one, but CBS was before. So it's not less than 1% because I don't know what. This doesn't show the market share.
All right, we'll post a poll somewhere on Twitter or in the Facebook group. Who's right?
No, there's no poll. This is not an opinion.
It will be 100% to 0% in my favor.
Anyway.
I feel like even the people who play on CBS know that that's not like the way God intended it.
When you're in a CBS pool, as you don't know because you're not in them because for some stupid
By the way, I literally am. If you want to join my friend Mark, hit me up.
In your pool, go to the score page right now. And for each person's name, it says name, points, champion, and then it says maximum points. And for each person, the maximum points is a different number based on their picks. Whereas on ESPN, everybody's maximum points is the same. It's 1920.
It's editable, but I believe the standard is the default on CBS is 1, 2, 4, 8, 12, 16. Okay, the default is not your way, even. Even on your own site.
I'm in three CBS pools, and they're all like that. So,
all right. If you agree with Akiva, say hashtag I am correct. And if you agree with Alex, hashtag my brain doesn't work.
I'm in these pools. There's nothing to discuss. There's no agree or disagree. I am in these pools.
There's lots to discuss.
Okay.
If your wife was listening and she followed sports, she would have divorced you. That take was so bad.
All right, this isn't a take. I'm just telling you the pools I'm in. I'm not the commissioner of any of these pools. It is possible that they all edit the default, and I don't know.
All right, let's get back to the task at hand, which is you agree that if we pick the consensus final four or the consensus finals, it gives us, even if we're right, maybe a 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 chance because many people will have that bracket. So you could get the championship game right and still only have a 5% chance or a 10% chance of winning.
No, if you get the entire Final Four right, there's no way you're not finishing in the top five of your pool.
Yeah, but there's no value. First of all, there is a way. If you picked all chalk. And second of all,
if you pick all chalk, and that's the outcome.
In a pool like this and finishing fifth, you're going for the win. All the money is in first. There is some second place money. But all, you know what I mean? The value's in winning.
So most, and again, you're going to disagree with me, most NCAA pools that have, I'm talking about the pools that have like 100 people, not the pools that have 26 people in them. Most pools give payouts for like 4, 5, 6 people, like quite a few people.
Okay, fine. This is giving, but now this is most of the first and a little bit of the second.
All right. Anyways, let's just get to the stupid bracket.
Okay. So my point is, I think we should pick maybe a team that we would only be competing with a few other teams. Like, we have to have at least one big swing in this bracket. At some point.
This pool isn't big enough. You said what? There's 100 people in this pool?
About 100, yes.
That's not big enough to worry about strategy. You worry about strategy when you have 300, 400, 600, 1,200 people in your pool.
Yeah, I guess.
Just pick what you think.
I've only run this for 20 years.
And how many years have you
literally
won?
By the way, can I tell you a funny story?
Hold on. How many times have you won?
I won once in 2003 because there were 16 people in the pool. I was overseas. Yeah.
And that's back when you had to print them out and like hand mark everybody's.
Oh, so I forgive me if I've told the story, but I don't think I have. When I was in college, I wanted to run a pool, and another guy on campus wanted to run it also, and we decided to run it together. One of the annoying things was a guy named Ben. I won't say his full last name, but Ben G. Slipped his bracket under our door, but never gave us the money, and he didn't pay. And because it was a very Jewish name, there was like four guys in that very small school who had the exact same name as him, and none of them copped to it being their handwriting. So we never got that $5 that I've complained about before.
But he didn't end up winning.
That would have been funny, but right, that was that's the World Cup pool story. But yeah. So we each wanted to take the. It was like a year or two before the online brackets were really ubiquitous. So we did it by hand. What I would do is I'd show up in class. I'd print out a bunch of brackets in the library. I'd show up in class with like 20 empty sheets. And like by the beginning of some super long, like hour and 15 minute boring class, a guy would be like, oh yeah, that looks cool. But I didn't follow college basketball this year. And 10 minutes later, he's like, hey, can I just like take a look at it? And by the end of the class, he'd filled that four and handed me $20. It was $5 a bracket. That happened all week with a million people. So the pool was big. But we each wanted to bring home the sheets for the weekend because it was a holiday weekend. There wasn't school for like another 2 weeks. So, but we like how are we going to score them if only one of them had this? We were arguing over who would take home the sheets because again they're not online. So we go to make a copy and like the school was closing for 2 weeks, so they wouldn't copy it. So we came up with an idea, which was. We said our teacher needs this runoff one copy of each of these like 100-something pages really quickly, and we put like one like history of biology paper on top and history of biology, and we hid the 100 papers in the sandwich, and we were like, hey, like and we like even named the teacher that we thought the secretary liked. Can you just run this off really quickly? Because usually in college you have to like give things in days ahead of time. It's not high school or like the small schools we went.
By the way, really quickly, not a way to describe the story, but go on.
Huh?
Nothing. I'm just making fun of your story. It's very long.
Okay. So it's great. So she made a copy of each of our brackets. We had like the college secretary, unbeknownst to her, make a copy of all 100 of our brackets so we could each take them home and grade them and make sure we had like the same grades for them. Anyway, end of story.
You could have just done the way. Yeah. So if you think that was a horrible, boring story that had no ending, you can hashtag Alex was right. And if you think it was a good story, then you can hashtag I have no brain. You could have just done the move that people, that teachers always do in like elementary school, grade each other's papers. Just give everybody somebody else's form.
No, we each wanted to have them so we'd know who's winning over the holiday.
Yeah, all right. Okay. All right.
We weren't,
I guess
we weren't in sync on that.
Okay, that story was very boring. All right, so let's get to this bracket.
This was
supposed to be a mini-sode, by the way.
No, it's not.
It was supposed to be.
Yeah, no one told me. All right. Virginia versus UMBC. We got Virginia.
Yeah.
By the way, in 10th grade or 11th grade, there was a 1-16 game Auburn-Winthrop, and Yeshaya Samet picked Winthrop to beat Auburn as a 16 over a 1, and not, again, not an upset pool. And for the rest of the high school, we call them the Winthrop Walrus. Creighton-Kansas State, 8-9 game.
Yeah, I like Creighton here. Right, they have Marcus Foster, big scorer.
Yeah, I like Creighton too.
I know all my top scorers because of our players pool, of which I'm in two this year.
Yeah, we if you miss the players pool, sign up for next year. It's awesome. You pick, you draft six teams in the tournament in a snake draft. You get
that's
two
how we met, by
team.
The way, right?
That was that, our we first met through the players pool. That was yeah. That's our meet cute. Yes,
yeah.
Via gambling, it was Chester saying that Excel sheet stinks. I will do a much nerdier and better one, and then he literally just took control of a lot of the pools I ran. Okay, now here's the problem. This quadrant has like a lot of good teams, starting with Virginia we just mentioned, but now the four of arguably the best four, the best five, and the best 12 are all here. So my like overarching philosophy for this entire bracket is whoever we have coming out of this, let's not have them going any further because the odds of them being the team to come out of it are 1-3. Do you follow what I'm saying?
No, nobody follows what you're saying. Just say the games.
I think everyone right, but you got it.
Okay,
Kentucky-Davidson.
Kentucky against Davidson. So ordinarily, in pools, I always have to pick a couple 12s because we know 12s are win about 50% of the time, and you get all the bonus points.
Yes,
but apparently
ordinarily.
I've been doing it wrong I've been doing it wrong in your pool for years.
So you thought for the last 10 years, you thought you were getting bonus points for picking Davidson.
I will acknowledge the fact that I did notice that on ESPN, everybody, like the max was 19-20. And so I think some part of me intellectually understood that ESPN doesn't do bonus points, but I was like, well, ESPN, you know, sucks and CBS is, I don't know.
By the way, one of the reasons to do it on ESPN over CBS is CBS, like the pool manager, has like crazy editing power. So a serious pool can't be on CBS. It has to be on ESPN for the integrity purposes. So we have Kentucky beating Davidson, right?
Okay, fine.
Now, Arizona over Buffalo, right? Even though I have Buffalo. Yeah. Buffalo has four big-time scorers.
Yeah, so Buffalo, I
now,
I
do you hear
like,
what I'm saying? What? Yeah, do you want to pick Buffalo over DeAndre Ayton's Arizona?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I want to like Buffalo, but Arizona's too good of a four.
Yeah, this quadrant is amazing.
If this is Wichita State,
100%.
If this is Wichita State or Auburn. If this was Auburn, Auburn's garbage, by the way.
100%. Every team here could be in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? Let's have the winner of that because—
Are you writing down these picks? Are you submitting it somewhere as we're doing it?
I'm going to click send on ESPN when we're done. I'm clicking along. You think I can remember
all
them?
Right, so far
but
we
do
have
you hear
the
what
1-8-4-5.
Wait, in the— Yeah, okay, let's keep going down. Let's go down and finish the South.
All right.
It's weird that the South is in the top left. The South should be in the bottom somewhere. If you're right. All right. Now, this is one of the more interesting 6-11 games, Miami versus
Basically,
Loyola,
they
Illinois.
Should swap the South and the Midwest, and then everything would work.
Totally. Now, Miami versus Loyola of Illinois.
Yeah, I want Loyola.
Yeah, Loyola's good, Miami's bad. This is basically almost a pick'em, I think, or a 1-point spread. Yeah. I agree. And then Tennessee over Wright State, even though I'm not so hot on Tennessee. I think this is
not hot on Tennessee, but yeah, not picking them to lose to Wright State.
Nevada versus Texas as the 7-10 game.
Yeah, Nevada's another garbage team. I'm definitely taking Texas here. What's your
but team? This is but both neither of these teams are really especially good. And then Georgia State.
Cincy's very lucky. I think Cincy has an easier run in the South than Virginia does, for sure.
I mean, Cincy got the best draw in the whole tournament of the good teams, I think.
Well, I think Villanova's got a pretty good.
Villanova got it really good, but also Cincy's going to have
Purdue,
a bunch of monsters murdering each other in the top half of the South.
Yeah, other than Purdue, who do you like in the East?
Could we not? Could we get there in a minute?
Okay. All right. Okay, fine. So we have Texas winning. So we have a 10 and 11 seed winning. Cincinnati's obviously going to win. Okay. So that's the done of our South. We have
all right,
all chalk.
Let's keep going with the
10
South.
And 11.
Virginia Creighton.
Wait, you don't do an entire round at a time. You do an entire.
I want to keep going with the South for reasons
fine.
That will be clear
in
a second.
Okay, fine. Virginia Creighton. So Virginia, they're sixth man. I think he's injured.
Yes.
Right.
Which might affect them in the finals, but I think they'll be okay against Creighton.
Yeah. They're going to beat Creighton. Fine. Agreed.
And now this is an absolute, like, titanic blockbuster matchup already,
Kentucky-Arizona. Great matchup.
Now, do you hear what I'm saying? Whoever wins this game is going to have to play Virginia. Any of these three teams could easily come out of here, which is why I don't want this team going far in our bracket. Do you understand that?
But people don't have Kentucky in there. Like, there's not a lot of people who have four or five seeds going into the Elite Eight.
Oh, if you want to pick Arizona to be in the finals, then that's a different conversation. But do you, like that, you, because then it's just, you want to put,
who,
but then you're putting you all
have,
of our money on Arizona.
Who do you have between Arizona and
play
Kentucky?
Okay, listen,
you have Arizona.
You're putting all our money
right?
on an Arizona team that is basically going to be an underdog in round two. So it's an interesting play. It goes along with what I'm saying, putting all our money on one team.
Let's just pick the damn games. This is like the flag thing. Nobody knows what we're talking about. They're not looking at the bracket. They're driving.
Yeah,
they're sitting.
Literally everyone knows what we're talking about. Who's still
nobody has it? Nobody has the bracket memorized in their head.
It's not that complicated, and a lot of people do have
Arizona
in their head.
Is the 4 seed. Kentucky's the 5 seed.
I like Arizona. I like Arizona's the best player on the floor in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely take Kentucky. I think Kentucky is. If this makes sense, I think Arizona is a slight favorite over Kentucky, but I think Kentucky would do better against Virginia.
Okay. And again, this is kind of speculation because you've never seen any of these teams play.
It's funny because this year, in November and December, I paid more attention to college basketball than I have in like a decade.
Yeah, we were and all then, over. Remember the 3-on-5 Alabama game?
But then from January on, I paid definitely less attention than I've ever
paid. Yeah, I mean, you were in Vikings mode, then you were in, like, I don't
know. But also, the Gophers, when they started the season, you know, ranked number 12 in the preseason, and then they completely fell apart and, you know, finished, like, last place in the Big Ten, I was out. So, yeah. All right. Okay, so
wait, so I have
Arizona,
you have Kentucky. It's
all right,
your call.
You can have Arizona. That's fine.
But do you hear what I'm saying? I don't think we should have either. I don't think we should put all of our money in that
Team
advantage. Okay,
whatever. Hold on. Well, okay, let's get – okay, so we have Loyola – against Tennessee.
First Tennessee, correct.
We're not big on
Tennessee,
but okay, fine. Tennessee over there. And then Texas against Cincinnati.
Now, Cincinnati barely lost all season. I love them. And they have an amazing defense. They have the second best defense in the country.
Yeah, by the way, that Virginia-Cincinnati game will be 32-31.
It'll be really low scoring, but I think it's going to happen. So are you agreeing it's going to be Virginia-Cincinnati?
I would say that Tennessee and Cincinnati, one of them is losing and not making the Sweet 16. But I'm not sure which one, so fine. We'll put Cincinnati there.
I'm going to give you my hot take here.
So you have all chalk. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm telling you with 100% certainty, it will not be 1, 2, 3, 4 in the Sweet 16 out of the South.
But I'm very nervous about the South, and I think we're playing it the right way. And I think, and you're not going to like this, because Cincinnati has less of an obstacle to advance to the Elite Eight than Virginia does. If Virginia and Cincinnati play, I definitely want Virginia. But I think Cincinnati is going to be there, but Arizona or Kentucky could be up top. So I think we should have Cincinnati in the Final Four.
All right.
And then you don't have to pick them any further because you're already going with the team that...
Anyway, the point is that I'm saying no, I don't agree, because either Cincinnati or Tennessee is going to lose in the first weekend.
Yeah, and if they don't, they've maybe got a 50% chance where Virginia's, you know...
All right, you started this whole thing by saying you didn't want to go chalk, and then you picked 1, 2, 3, and 4 to make it in
No,
in the
I
Sweet
didn't
16.
Say I don't want to go chalk. I said we have to make one big move.
All right, money moves. Virginia versus Arizona. Who do you got?
Virginia.
Oh, I thought you want the star power.
No, yeah, against Kentucky, not against the freaking best team.
Okay, all right. Okay, so you have Virginia in the Elite Eight, and Cincinnati, Tennessee. Again, to me, one of them will have already lost. The other one will win this game. I have no idea. I mean,
Cincinnati does something special. First of all, Cronin's a really good coach. You almost have to go with the better coach. Cincinnati does something special. They play defense.
Okay. So we have the one against the two
all year long, and they
in the South.
People.
Okay. So what phenomenal prognosticators we are. We have the 1, 2, 3, and 4 winning the first weekend, and then we have the 1 and the 2 facing each other for the final.
Well, listen, you want an upset. I want the 2 over the 1, and you won't even give it to me.
I didn't say that. I said I don't even want the 2 this far or the 1.
Yeah.
I would have Kentucky.
Can we put Cincy in the Final Four?
I have Kentucky coming out of this bracket altogether.
Comedy. Yeah, but I don't. I just think the odds are not in that favor.
But you said you wanted...
I opened up by saying I don't want to play around with the South. We got 3 brackets. You can have freaking Radford in the Final Four. I don't care. But I don't think we mess with the South. I think you go with Cincy. It's a safe bet that very few people are going to have Cincy in the Final Four. Let's see
so
how many people...
Cincinnati.
You could check how many people have put Cincy in the Final Four.
Basically, just 12%, so I understand...
12%.
This is... that have him in the Final Four?
Yeah, less than Arizona.
Yeah, that's too low. 538 gives them a 25% chance of making it. Yeah, so there is value there for sure.
There's value. Do you agree? We'll have them lose. For whoever they play, we're going to have them lose because there's no value in having them in the finals, in my opinion.
But just so far, has there been a single pick made that is different than your other bracket? Because it seems like this is just your bracket again. But
No. Yeah, I did my bracket like a Monday, and I have no idea who I picked.
Okay.
I have no idea.
So far,
but I've listened to more podcasts. Now. I'm much more educated now than I was a month ago.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And
right,
I watched a lot of games.
Let's move down to the West.
Yeah.
Okay. The West to me is the deepest bracket because it has the weakest one seed and it has the strongest two seed.
Not the deepest. The most teams that could win, you're saying.
Well, it has the strongest two seed.
Not
it has
in
the
quality,
strongest.
Just
four.
In it's the most competitive, is what
again,
you're saying.
I think it has the strongest two seed. I think it has the strongest four seed, and it has the weakest one seed. So yeah, it's very competitive.
All right, so Xavier, we don't have to discuss 8-9. I really like Missouri over Florida State. I just think Porter is a superstar, and
A superstar. He's played one game. To me, the stupid people are going to pick Missouri, and I'm laughing all the way to the bank. Florida State, to me, no question.
I'm giving you Florida State. You gave me the arguments in the last one. All right, Ohio State, San Diego State,
South Dakota State.
South Dakota. It just says SDST.
No, SDSU is in two games. So here's the thing. Huh? South Dakota, I've loved those Jack Rabbits for a couple of years.
They score.
Mike Daum, he's phenomenal. He scores like 25 points
a game
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single year. How tall is Mike Daum?
6'9", I don't know.
Okay. I was hoping you thought he was a point guard because he sounds like a point guard, but he's a big man.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, you know how I know that? Because one of the people in one of our League of Leagues, when they submitted their team to me, their players, each player, they gave me their name, which is a normal thing to give, their points per game, which is not a normal thing to give, their position, which is a weird thing to give, and their height.
They're like announcing them. And my team. Listen, this person's very excited about
this. I said, thanks for giving me every guy's position and height. And so he said to me, well, it's important. You can't have a team with too many guards or too many forwards. You need to balance out your roster. And I was like, you know that this is not actually a team that's playing in the tournament.
he's also like giving them a pep talk today. I love it. I love how excited he is.
You know, it actually reminds me of in ninth grade, I ran an NBA fantasy league in my school.
Yeah.
And this was not rotisserie style. There were no categories. It was just points, rebounds, and assists, blocks, and steals all combined or whatever.
We did that in elementary school too. Kemba Mutombo was the first pick.
And one guy... This guy named Zev Vase, for anyone who remembers Zev Vase, I don't know if anyone from Canada even listens to this podcast.
This is in
1997-98, so the Bulls are the best team, obviously. But he picked Dennis Rodman in like the third or fourth round. And I'm like, are you? And I remember I went up to him, I remember where he was because I was sort of running around the school getting people's picks. And he says, Dennis Rodman. And I was like, shocked because Rodman wasn't even like the top 100. And he says, yeah, I really need rebounds. I was like, you don't. But anyway. And then he picked Steve Kerr in like the eighth round because he needed 3-point shooting, he said. So
he was a Bulls fan. Okay.
Yeah. No, he was a Raptors fan. I don't know. Whatever.
All right. Ohio State versus South Dakota State. Who do you want?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm a little bit low as somebody who was an expert on the Big Ten until they actually started conference play. I think Ohio State's a little bit overrated. I want them to be upset. And South Dakota State, again, I think is a team that could get an upset. You know what? I'm going to say
there's no value in picking South Dakota State, but if you want to, fine.
Well, here's why.
Gonzaga beat Ohio State by 30 in the regular season.
Yeah,
so you
that's what I was
going to
say.
Gonzaga
is going to destroy the other, the winner of this game anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah. So in others, we have no harm if we don't get one game out of Ohio State, it's 1 point or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of the good Gonzaga teams were star based. Starting from like the Casey Calvary days and Dan Dickow to Adam Morrison and stuff.
Yeah.
And this year, it's much more balanced. Like, even last year, they had Williams, who was a Kentucky guy.
Yeah, I don't think they have a guy who scores 14 points a game.
No, they have five good players, and they're all from, like, tiny European countries. Okay.
Okay, so let's go South Dakota State here, and then Gonzaga, obviously, to be...
And we're going to have Gonzaga win, but we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. Houston, San Diego State.
So this is another one where I think I want to take San Diego State. Well, I got both SDSUs.
It's tricky because Houston was very good in a really bad conference, right? It was a three-team conference, and then there was a bunch of UConns who were just cannon fodder.
Okay.
So what do you want, Houston? I don't care. I pick Houston, but it's pretty much a pick'em.
Well, if it's a pick'em, then isn't the value to take the 11 seed? Oh, I guess not in your pool.
Not really.
All right, I don't care. You
and then I think Michigan beats either of these teams anyway. Michigan over Montana, and then Michigan beating them.
Yeah, and Michigan also, by the way, so they won the Big Ten tournament, but like they didn't like exactly blow teams out in the Big Ten tournament.
No, but they have a lot of talent. I mean, are we gonna have them win the championship? Probably not. But I mean, they're gonna be Houston.
Yeah, I mean, I have to root for Michigan because once Minnesota's out, Michigan becomes my default team to root for. All right, so
does your wife actually care about her alma mater or no?
Football. and a little bit of hockey.
Like,
yeah,
she wouldn't watch. She wouldn't watch if they were in like the Final Four or something.
Oh, if they're in the Final Four, she would. Yeah, but she's not going to make an effort to watch the first round game. And neither am I. By the way, listen to this huge mistake. I am flying tomorrow, Thursday, all day, so I'm not watching.
I want to explain to you.
Yeah.
How? I mean, I would avoid that. Like, I would miss a wedding. I would miss my wedding. I never worked a day. Now I work.
It's
like,
one of the best days of the year. It's one of the best days of the year.
The Thursday is the best day of the year. I like, you know, I like order in food and I ignore my family. And I used to like hang out with people when I used to leave my house and like you just call it a day with a bunch of people. You know, if I wasn't a big loser, I'd probably go to Vegas. We should do that one time. Can we agree?
I have done
how
that.
About this? For a 40th
I did that
birthday?
With David Epstein, our mutual friend, who I'm also meeting up later in L.A. today.
Why don't you guys get a little frisky and fly to Vegas tonight and be in Vegas tomorrow for the games?
Because I got to fly back to New York tomorrow. Or to New Jersey.
No, you don't. Say. Have to? Like, who's making you?
I think my wife will be very happy to hear this from you, Keith.
Okay. You should consider it. But how about this? For our 40th birthday, we go to Vegas for March Madness weekend. Are you in?
Yeah. I don't want to get too morbid here, but if you had to give odds that we're both alive at 40.
I mean, you're in good shape compared to me. Like me
over under 94%.
Should we make it 35th birthday and go next? Oh, boy. I hope my dad's not listening. My dad doesn't like when I say I'm going to die young.
Yeah, it's shocking.
It really bothers him.
Okay, so we have Houston, we have Michigan, Texas A&M and Providence. To me, it's a toss-up, I guess.
I like
Texas
Providence, A&M. Honestly.
Okay. I
like Providence.
Providence. I don't care.
And obviously Carolina, obviously Carolina over Providence. Let's just go up.
Okay.
We picked the winners of a lot of these games already in the second round. Xavier, FSU, I like Xavier.
Yeah.
Gonzaga. We already have Gonzaga. We already have Michigan, and we already have UNC. So let's go immediately to the Sweet 16 game. Xavier versus Gonzaga.
I think Gonzaga is the favorite, and I think they're going to win.
Okay, let's put. I have no problem putting Gonzaga.
By the way, I will say this: as a non-Cincinnati Ian, it would be really cool to see Cincinnati and Xavier playing on semifinal Saturday, right? It's a great long-term rivalry that they had to stop playing because they were so like getting. Into
I mean, it's really like an amazing rivalry that not everyone knows about. Like,
yeah, it's very much in play.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking here. So, 17-25.
It would have been cool if they were. It would have been cool if they were in the same bracket.
Like, there's at least a 5% chance that they face each other.
That would be awesome. It'd be awesome.
It'd be cool. But I have Gonzaga beating Xavier. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And now an absolutely blockbuster Sweet 16 game: Michigan, North Carolina, one of the highest rated games of the tournament.
North Carolina's gonna win by 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then rematch in the Elite Eight, a rematch of the championship game
from last year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does Gonzaga get revenge? I mean, North Carolina just has much more talent, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Gonzaga's worse than last year, like much worse.
Yeah, but if we're trying to beat 100 people, having North Carolina in the Final Four, and I think I have North Carolina winning it all in my bracket, actually.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I think I do too.
Oh, but I'm saying, so here, let's zag when they're expecting us to zig. Let's take Gonzaga.
I don't like it, but I don't hate it.
All right, so why don't we leave this Elite Eight matchup alone for the moment?
Okay, right now I have temporarily have Gonzaga in, but depending on how chalky the right side of the bracket is, we could agree to switch it up.
Okay, so we have Cincinnati, and they're going to face either Gonzaga or UNC.
Correct. All right, let's go quickly.
Let's go to the East.
Villanova, obviously. Who do you like, Virginia Tech, Alabama?
I mean, look, Alabama has Colin Sexton, who can win 3-on-5. Mm-hmm. But their team isn't very good. They only made the tournament. I mean, they didn't deserve to make the tournament, although they had a nice little run in the SEC tournament. I think Virginia Tech's the better team.
Okay. West Virginia, Murray State.
And by the way, it's going to be it's the same thing with Missouri. It's the same thing with Oklahoma. Like, we want to see these stars win, but their teams
are. Yeah. It's an interesting tournament because, in the last few years, these teams just haven't even made it. Like, DeJounte Murray, Markel Fultz, the next year, Washington point guard, didn't even make it last year. Like, we got the stars in. But the Trae Youngs, the Colin Sextons, they're on such bad teams that it's going to be weird. Michael Porter.
I mean, when's the last time that we had, like, I mean, was it Steph Curry? When's the last time that you had a star on a small team who, like, did something in the tournament?
Gordon Hayward. Well, Hayward was before
but
Curry.
But I wonder if that was such a small team, though. Yeah, and that was before.
No, I mean, that was the first year of Butler. It was obviously a small team.
I don't know. Anyway, all right. West Virginia, Murray State. I like Murray State. I really like West Virginia. You know, I liked Bob Huggins in Cincinnati. I like Bob Huggins in West Virginia.
West Virginia. Who do you like, Wichita State, Marshall?
I would love to see Marshall win, but it's probably Wichita State.
We probably it's not the Wichita State team we've really necessarily seen in the last couple of years, but
well, yeah, they're not a one seed, but yeah, but.
No. Florida versus the Bonnies. The Bonnies beat UCLA.
Yeah,
Florida's not bad.
Let's say Florida.
We're a little down on all the SEC teams, except for maybe Kentucky. We are losing in the second round, so we're kind of
I want them to go to the Final Four, but yeah. All right, okay.
We're shorting the SEC.
All right, so let's take Florida over there. Okay. So we don't
Texas
have
Tech is a three seed that's getting negative zero respect from the country.
Yeah, well, they're going to lose, but it's not to Stephen F. Austin. So.
Well, let's see. They are making the Sweet 16.
Also known as San Francisco Austin.
They're only even making the Sweet 16 at 55%. They're in the Elite Eight at 19%.
Well, hold on. 55% is not bad.
No, it's not so bad. But also, it's an insanely weak bottom quarter.
By the way, 55% is identical to Michigan, I think, as a three seed in the West. So, all right, okay, fine. So,
no, Michigan's at 75% to make the.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, people are way overrating Michigan.
Okay, all right,
Texas Tech. Arkansas should be an underdog to Butler. I don't know.
Yeah, I like Butler also, and I like Purdue.
Okay. Yeah, Purdue's a really, really good team. They can win the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, all my Big Ten opinions are based on 4 months ago. All right. Villanova's going to
should we call our shot? Purdue is such an unsexy team. People are not picking them. Should we make a big play on Purdue?
I mean, there's nobody less sexy, I would argue, in American history than Gene Katie.
That's true. That's a good point.
So Purdue is like just the ultimate unsexy team always.
They're a 10th. They're the 10th pick to be in the finals and to win the Final Four, and they're a 2 seed.
What percentage of people have them in the Final Four?
7.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, sorry. They have 7 percentage of people have them in the finals. 18.5 in the Final Four, 7 in the finals.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, because Villanova's got to be, 50, 60%, I assume?
Yeah, Villanova is obviously number one on.
All right, okay, we'll get to that.
Villanova's won to make the Final Four, but then flipped from Virginia. If you have Virginia making it out, then you have them winning it, basically.
Yeah, but we don't. Okay, all right. So West Virginia versus Wichita State. I'll take West Virginia.
Okay, fine. But I want Villanova winning in the next game.
All right, and Florida. Yeah, obviously Florida, Texas Tech.
Who cares?
Texas Tech. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I don't like either team, but
I want Purdue, and then Purdue beating Texas Tech.
Okay, so Purdue beats Texas Tech.
And we got Purdue Villanova.
Okay, so we have Villanova against Purdue. I think that's a really good game. That might be one of the best games of the tournament.
I agree, but I think every single person's picking Villanova in this pool. I think this is where we win the pool by picking Purdue.
All right, fine. Look, I'm a Big Ten guy, so fine. That's fine with me. Purdue.
Okay. First of all, you're an Ivy League guy. As you tell me at least five times a day, you have two Ivy League degrees. Literally.
I've never said that expression in my entire life.
Here's a G chat from Chester to me during the Penn Harvard game. I really can't pick who to root for. I have such fond memories of both schools. Harvard Law School were I graduated in 2 years, two of the greatest years of my life. But at Penn, I met, so many people who will eventually, place me in the cabinet of Republican government.
What's the character limit on this G-chat? I G-chatted you.
I just don't know who to root for. I just know that whoever wins, the real winner is me at the game of life. Okay, let's go to the Midwest. Kansas versus Penn. You want to pick Penn over Kansas? Get wild.
Well, here's the thing. People are saying statistically that this is the most likely 16 seed to win ever. Or some people are saying it's second most to Oral Roberts.
I'm on record as saying, because we don't watch TV on Friday night, you and I.
Yeah.
It's our thing. I'm on record as saying if the 16-1 upset happens for the first time on a Friday night, I'll never watch sports or TV again. I will just quit sports. The Mets, one of the worst things that ever happened to me,
because, hold on, especially for you in Israel, all the Friday games are Friday night.
It's a problem. It was
so
literally,
it's a 50-50
when
chance.
I had pros and cons, the biggest con was I'm going from only being able to watch 8 of the 16 Friday games to being able to watch 0 of the 16 Friday games. Trust me. It's something I think about every year. That's why we got to spend 35th and 40th birthdays in Vegas. One of the worst sports thing that ever happened to me probably is Johan Santana. Missing Johan Santana's no-hitter because it was on a Friday night. I literally found out about it from checking the New York Times in the morning, and I was so upset.
Okay. All right. Nobody cares about no-hitters. It's 2018. A walk is as good as a hit. All right. Kansas, Penn. So here's the thing. Penn is very good at
stopping other teams. Why are we talking about this? Kansas is beating Penn.
But you do know, people are saying, this is the most likely 16-1 upset ever, statistically, right? You've heard that.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. Yeah, that still means it's a 5% chance instead of a 1% chance, but yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Kansas beating Penn. That is a game I will root for Penn. All right. Seton Hall is much better than NC State. They should have been like a 6 seed, I think. They can score. Right?
Yes. Seton Hall. Okay. Clemson, I like over New Mexico State.
Yeah, agreed.
What do you like, Auburn or Charleston?
I hate Auburn, but there's no
reason. Remember when Charleston used to be good? They used to be a good team.
Yeah, College Charleston. Yeah, they were making the turn back when we were high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought you only liked Charleston in terms of – oh, no, that's Charlottesville, so my joke got destroyed. Sorry. No, I was trying to make a Nazi joke. Right.
Auburn, I like Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who are not Nazis.
Well, why? Because he's a Jew?
Yeah, I assume he's not a Nazi.
I would hope so. I don't know, yeah. All right, so Auburn, yeah. I'm going to have Clemson beating Auburn, though.
Okay, I have Clemson beating Auburn. That's fine.
Okay, all right.
We're very high in the ACC.
So I was going to take Syracuse to beat TCU.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have TCU beating Arizona State. We don't know yet, right?
All right. So who do you want to pick in there? Let's pick our TCU, and we could always switch it.
All right. So as we're recording, we're going to pick TCU. But if Syracuse wins, we're going to switch it.
If you remind me, I've got a lot going on.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Hours. Michigan State's going to beat Bucknell.
Yeah. This Michigan State team to me stinks. But
yeah, that game, I mean, I can see that game being 62-61 for sure.
Izzo's an amazing coach, but they've also been upset. Let's not pretend like this team. I feel like they lose in the first round or they go far.
Rhode Island, Oklahoma.
What a trash.
Rhode Island is going to win by 45 points. Well, no. Oklahoma's garbage. It's Trae Young and nobody, and he hasn't been good in 2 months. Rhode Island's going to win this game easily.
All right, I disagree, but I don't think they're going far. Duke Iona. Tim Kluse is like one of the 10 best coaches in the country, and because he's not a good-looking guy, he literally doesn't get these jobs. And also, he takes a garbage team and makes the tournament every year. The worst value in sports is like signing the coach of a team that made one run to the Sweet 16, right? And you're like, you just fired your coach, and you're like,
yeah, like the good-looking guy from Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like that is the worst value on earth.
I'm looking at Tim Kluse. I don't think he's so bad-looking.
No, he's just like a boring guy, and nobody will hire him. But he's amazing. Look at what Iona's done. He hasn't really done anything in the tournament, but the fact that he gets there every single year is incredible. Tim Kluse is an amazing coach.
Okay, obviously, all right. So Duke is going to win. Duke, Rhode Island, boom goes the dynamite. Rhode Island's winning this game.
I thought we were going to put all our money on Duke. Because once we have Purdue, we could have Duke-Purdue. We could go chalk now.
I don't care. All right. So Duke,
listen. If you want to pick Rhode Island, who's losing the first round, we could have them.
Okay, fine. Let's
right, Michigan State over TCU, right?
Yeah. Because I was going to say Rhode Island can make a nice little run here, but all right. So we have Duke. We have Duke and Michigan State facing each other in the Elite Eight, and then at the top we have Clemson facing Kansas, right?
And then who do we?
I think Kansas, Seton Hall. The closest upsets we will see for a one seed the first weekend will be Florida State over Xavier, in my opinion, and Seton Hall.
Yeah, I agree. People won't bat an eye if Florida State beat Xavier.
Yeah. Nobody but don't we have Missouri beat
Listen,
Florida
I mean
State?
Listen, I think Virginia's gonna be Creighton by like 19, but Virginia's also the type of team nobody would care if they lost.
Yeah. They're not all right, okay. So Kansas, Clemson, Kansas is gonna win, right?
Yeah. And I have Duke winning this just because I don't think Michigan State's so good.
Okay, so Duke
is really
Michigan
good.
State. And then that
I think
means,
Duke's the best team in the country.
Well, I have Duke. It's funny because I had Duke losing to Rhode Island, but I have Duke beating Kansas. I do not respect Kansas.
Okay. Don't respect Kansas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fine. So now we have Duke and Purdue facing each other in the Final Four on one side. We have two seeds. And then we have Cincinnati at two seed
so
on the other side.
No one's in the – I like this bracket. I'll be honest.
Okay. So we have three two seeds, and then we're discussing in the West between a fourth two seed UNC and Gonzaga. Is that right?
I think we could just go UNC.
So we're going to go all four two seeds in the Final Four.
All four two seeds. And I think now we're just picking, if we get this Final Four right, we're going to win this pool. Assuming the one thing we didn't think about was that a lot of people who are in our pool listen to this also. So I don't know if that helps us.
Well, nobody's changing their opinion. Nobody's like, you know who's a real college basketball expert that's going to make me change my bracket, Alex?
There's people who haven't watched the game all year who join these things.
And we've watched how many? Single digits. So
I watched a lot of games.
I've read some articles and looked at some charts. That's
okay.
I've made some.
I love this. So four two seeds.
All right, give me the punny headline for the 4-2 seed Final Four.
Two's paradise.
All right, whatever. Okay. okay. So North Carolina, Cincinnati. At this point, by the way, you said if we get these four, we make the final.
Deuce is wild.
All right. I mean, that was too obvious, but okay. Here's the problem. You don't automatically
dropping a deuce in San Antonio, just like the Spurs have been doing all season.
Dropping a deuce in San Antonio. Here's the thing: if you don't, you cannot win a tournament if you don't have the right winner. It's impossible.
Except the one time I had Syracuse, unless it's just four teams nobody's picked, which happens like once every 10 years.
Yeah, no, but yeah, if you don't have the winner, if you have 100 people in the pool, there's a 0%.
I mean, nobody picked Butler to win those 2 years. They almost won it.
They didn't.
The Syracuse-Kansas year, nobody had either of those teams in the finals. The UConn-Kentucky year, it was a 7 seed versus an 8 seed. Not one person in any pool had them near the finals. So
people had Kentucky, I think.
No, as the 8 seed?
They were like the... Yeah, but, but they were 8 seed and had 1 seed
talent.
Right.
They played Wichita State. You're right. Yeah. Still, nobody had, you know.
Anyway, yeah, and Wichita State was one of those 1 seeds, you know, like 1 year. What was it? Oh, my goodness. The school in Philadelphia, St. Joseph's, with the redheaded guy who went to the Cavs. Who was on St. Joseph's that year when they were 34-0? Jameer Nelson?
St. Joe's.
Yeah.
Yeah, St. Joseph's. Right, Jameer Nelson, who's still in the NBA, I think, somehow.
Yeah, yeah. But didn't they also have the redheaded guy who was
the
gun?
Yes, they had a second good player. They had two guards. They were like two really short players. I'm blanking
on the guy who said he was
going to
sleep with LeBron's mom with the red hair, who had like...
Oh, Delonte West. You're right.
Yeah,
Delonte West. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Who put the machine gun in the guitar case on his motorcycle.
That Cincy was easily the best team, and then Kenyon Martin like fractured his wrist or something in the conference tournament.
Exactly. Yeah.
Kenyon Martin was amazing in college.
Okay, Purdue versus Duke. Let's go Purdue.
Wait, hold on. So we got Purdue, Duke, and UNC Cincinnati.
We have UNC winning already, we said, over Cincinnati.
Yeah, I just think UNC Duke is too chalky.
Yeah, so let's go UNC Purdue.
But I want to pick UNC then. I don't think there's any value in picking Purdue to win. Because I think if UNC beats here's what I'm thinking.
By the way, 538 gives both UNC and Purdue exactly a 5% chance to win the national championship.
That's not great. Okay. But again, it's a crazy year. To me, if Purdue is – we might be one of the only people that have Purdue in the finals. There's going to be a lot of UNC winners. If it's UNC over Duke, we're going to lose this pool. But if it's UNC over insert team nobody picked, Florida, Wichita State, Clemson, Auburn –
none of those are happening. Well, yeah, but none of those are happening. Honestly.
I mean, nobody's that good that nobody can lose.
Yeah. All right. So Purdue, UNC. You want to pick UNC, which means that this bracket ends up being the same as my other bracket.
Yes, but over Purdue. I think this is a good bracket. I think picked the perfect bracket that's like going to come in seventh.
Okay. Good. UNC is going to be Purdue. You heard it here first. This Minnesota is not gone over.
Tiebreaker does not count in our pool, but in case we win the $10 million. Which I'm not entering because I'm not clicking on the sweeps.
UNC over Purdue, I will say make it 84-77.
Okay, it's too high.
No, they're high-scoring teams.
Okay. Should we enter the sweeps? I'm not entering any sweeps.
Okay, this podcast is over, Q.
Okay, yes. If you want to get a piece of $1,000 we're going to get for winning it, then you got to join the 32 Fans Facebook group by Friday morning. This was such a delight. I'm sure many people are still listening. And they loved every second of it. People wanted us to talk sports. They got what they wanted. We talked the NFL. We talked college basketball. Should we talk biathlon for a second? I definitely did not. I don't know why people are accusing me of doing this. I definitely did not buy a VPN just so I could watch biathlon on the free like Norwegian public access channel with like the really good HD quality the last few weeks. No, I don't know why anyone's accusing me of that. It definitely did not happen. I definitely do not have to not tell my wife what that $4.99 charge is. For a Norwegian VPN. And that's been Biathlon Talk. Who do you like this week? Kaisa Makarainen from Finland?
I don't know, but we got another guest next week, another special podcast.
Oh, I didn't even
I didn't tell you about that yet.
You do the stupid thing where you like invite guests on before we discuss the podcast, but then you invite the guest on and like we didn't discuss that guest. I don't even know that guest. I don't know this person.
Sorry, I got Mike Pesca on the podcast. Sorry to disappoint you. And Ted K.
No, but for every Mike Pesca, there's nine I don't know who's bad.
No, we have another guest next week who's the host of a more popular podcast than ours. Which doesn't narrow it down.
No. I mean, probably barely. Okay. Keep it real. Enjoy the best day of the year tomorrow.
While I fly across the country. And by the way, I'm not even flying JetBlue. If I was flying JetBlue, it would be phenomenal.
Oh, that's such a mistake.
Yeah.
At least you didn't bring your family to LA this time. That would have been a smart move.
Yeah. Should I pay $40 to have internet on the plane? Which doesn't even permit streaming. So
no. If it permits streaming, then yes. If not, you should sleep and you should like DVR the games. and then you should just like run through. The problem is you can't really DVR anymore.
Nobody's DVRing March Madness. You got to be there.
I kind of disagree.
Okay, all right. Keep up. Talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.
The N-word.